Facebook. If you like my new glasses and you want to make a comment, hit the like button.
Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo.
Okay. So we are up and ready to go. And we have Brent here. He's going to pray me in.
Father God, we come before you humbly seeking your truth, your word. May you feed us tonight. May you enrich us with your spirit. Give everything that's needed to be heard, that you want us to be heard through this man. We pray that you give him words to speak, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And we come here humbly, Father, just seeking your word. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 All right. Well, we have a few phone calls. Got to talk to some people this week. And I have to go through some of this stuff before. I'll have more time tomorrow. But first thing I got to show is this open Bible.
Isn't that beautiful?
See that?
No.
It's handmade. I mean, hand painted.
It says, the pastor's handy, Pastor Ben. The S4C family. So it's to all of us. I can't take it home. Thank you all so much for all you do, your commitment to the Lord. All of us truly appreciate it. I am grateful God led me to you and your channel. Thank you, Pastor Sandy, for always answering my questions. I know you are busy. You take the time to ensure I am not deceived. I am grateful. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for your prayers and for my children. I'm thinking it says parish, if that's an A, I hope it's, if, or it could be an O, but it's, I think it's parish, Trinity, and Imani. Zion, wait a minute, we're going to ask Mo. Wait a minute, Zion, and Raymond. Praise God.
Amen.
Be fruitful and multiply. God bless you. And, wait a minute, I wasn't done. Is there, and for every person and family. Oh, she's calling me now. She's jacking it up. Okay, it says, I pray for S4C family. I look forward to seeing you in heaven. I love you all with the love of Christ always. P.S. I changed the name of this painting I did in 2020 3 times. I asked, was preparing to send it, and I heard the Lord said, the Bible is alive. The Bible is alive and true.
Yes.
That's the name of this painting.
Yes.
It's the name. I pray all of your strength and protection and heart to always be upon you. The Bible is alive and true. Love, Kim Renee Hayes Mitchell.
Yes.
With a love and a little heart drawn.
That's beautiful. That'll go up on the wall. We'll, I'll
right there.
I'll have a frame made for it.
Yes,
that's beautiful.
Okay, and then I have to show this
hand stitched
because this picture right here is like, I think my grandmother had this picture in her house too.
Daniel Steinberg.
Daniel, is it Steinberg or Steinberg?
S-T-E-N.
Okay. So thank you very much for this picture too. We will add it to our wall.
Yes.
Or to my desk in the office. One or the other.
We got our barbecue. And we got the rest of our
barbecue. My family, Matthew, my family's at home right now having delicious baked barbecue chicken from smothered and delicious barbecue. And okay.
The tag is on there for this.
Who is this? Ooh, my new glasses.
Herbs.
Sterling Berry. And he lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hallelujah. Look at all these herbs. Honeybush, that has educated me on all the different names of them. And the only one I knew was what, peppermint?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And thyme?
She was, I don't know what thyme is.
Oh, fast.
I'm all
lovers. Oh, my goodness. You too?
I'm an herbologist.
Yeah?
Now, Drea puts this on her food. Turmeric?
Turmeric, yes. Very good.
Turmeric's good.
Yeah, but it's everything in here. Like I told you, the guy that led me back from Islam back to Christ, he was an herbologist, so he would be like dancing right now. Fig leaves, wow. Well, anyway, everything that you could possibly need. Beth, who is in the medical field, was telling me which ones will help you with your knees and everything. So yeah. I'm going to make sure to get you a drink tea and read a book. Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Hallelujah. No, I have this book called Reflections of Norma. Oh, this is Norma. Is this Norma who has a YouTube channel too? I'm trying to see the picture, but it's kind of small in there.
Pastor Sandy, can you pull your mic down?
Yes.
Because it's up kind of high.
All right. So this is from Norma, Reflections of Norma, and scriptures and stories. And thank you, Norma, for sending us that. And I'll read it first, Pastor. Okay. Did you guys have your notes?
Yes.
Thank you for praying me in. We have our notes, and tonight's title is The Great Reset, Ignoring End Times. Okay? So the Great Reset is coming, and people, how the Lord was showing me today, people are completely ignoring
everything
that's in front of them. It's like, wow. God's probably in heaven going, wow. These people are ignoring everything that's going on in the earth realm as if nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's like your enemy is sitting around you, setting up your death, and you're like, I wonder who wins the NBA champion. It's like the world is not paying attention at all. I think we are. I think the world is completely been put to sleep or brainwashed because they don't. Now, the latest cover for Economist magazine. I love Economist magazine because if you want to know what the Illuminati is doing, all you got to do is get this magazine.
Wow!
They will tell you. They will tell you every time with every cover what they're up to, what they're doing, and this is what they seem to be planning next. It says the coming catastrophe, okay? And it says the Great Reset, the economists predict an imminent food catastrophe, okay? And if you look at the wheat, it's skull heads. Did you look real close?
Yes.
You see that?
Ooh.
So they're planning on killing some people. You understand? This is a Stalin thing. This is like, you know, how Stalin starved 3.9 million Ukrainians to death. So I need people to know and understand these people have done this before. Don't think like this is something that has never happened in the world before. You need to watch a documentary on the starvation of Ukraine and see how one man
was able to
starve to death 3.9 million people. And I don't know how long it took, but I think about 3 years or so. And the only way that it got found out, a journalist took a trip there and opened his bag on the train and realized, and everybody was looking at him like they were going to rob him. And he didn't realize those people hadn't eaten, hadn't even seen food in so long. So I think I asked you to watch that movie too, Pastor Ben. And when he stopped in at the one of the young girls' house in Ukraine.
Oh yeah, you told us. Yeah.
And she was cooking. He's like, where'd you get food?
Her brother.
Yeah. She's like, where'd you get this meat? And she said, my brother. He looked out the window, and she had been eating a little bit of her brother every day. For her and her kids to survive. And that's what was going on in Ukraine during the time of Stalin when he was starving to death all of these people. 3.9, not 3,900, 3.9 million people, you know, to death. And so It says here the coming food catastrophe. And then on the wheat thing, it has skull heads instead of wheat. So you know they're planting, okay? So I want us to read this scripture. If you look down at the bottom of your notes, it says, go to the number 2, because I'm going to read Revelation 6:6 for you, okay? It says, and I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that you do not hurt the oil or the wine. Now that's the King James Version of that scripture. Now, if you can get that for a penny, that means you're not really having a hard time, right? So that's one thing I'm trying to get people to know and understand. You can't be King James only, because if you're King James only, you're going to be reading here, you know, a measure of wheat for a penny. That's what the King James wrote. A measure of barley for a penny. And so they in the Greek, they never used the word penny. But in English, when they translated it, they put a penny. Now you go to the Greek, and it says, in the principal silver coin, it was the principal silver coin of the Roman Empire. It was called a denarius. And it says, from the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, it would seem that a denarius was then the ordinary pay for a day's wage. So a denarius was a whole day's wage, okay? It was not a penny. So that's why I'm saying, if you have a King James, you have an NIV, you have English, always has to be looked at in the original language so you'll know exactly what's being said, okay? So what they're saying in Revelation 6 is that, you know, a measure of wheat's going to cost you a whole day's wage, okay? And a measure of barley is going to cost you a whole day's wage, okay? And,
did you hear about,
go ahead. Ask me while I'm looking in Revelation.
Yeah, so they're saying basically that the whole global stores of wheat is for 10 weeks only. Like, that's all they have stored up for the entire globe.
Well, you know, the thing is, they whatever they say on TV is correct, because they realize now, through the pandemic, that whatever they say is going to be true and everybody's going to believe them.
Okay? Yeah.
So if you got monkey, whatever thing they got now, as soon as they make it famous on TV, it's real. Yeah. Okay? So if they say that that's all they have, and they put it on NBC, ABC, and CBS, it's real. And you will have to fight with your neighbors to tell them that it's a lie, okay?
Yeah.
So a lot is happening now. We're weeks away from the greatest, one of the greatest rapture scenarios that you can possibly think of in scripture. And we're going to look at that today, because it's very important that you know this, because every year at Pentecost, this is really the time of the year that I'm going, it's going to happen on this day, because God has kept structure with all 3 harvest seasons, and we're the next ones up, okay? Yeah. We'll look at that in a minute. Okay, so let me see, Revelation chapter 6. Okay, and then in verse 7, this is it. It says, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse, and his rider was called Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So you hear that? In the tribulation, they're going to kill people by famine, plagues, and some other thing by the wild beasts of the earth.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to explain to the human race, you have beings here on this earth that hate human beings.
Yeah.
Okay? I know they look human. They are not. They hate human beings, and they want to get rid of human beings. And they're always talking about depopulation. how to get rid of as many human beings as possible. So there is really only one escape from what's coming on this earth, and that's Jesus Christ and this wonderful thing called the blessed hope, the rapture, which if you're a Christian and you don't want to believe in a rapture, and you don't believe in the rapture, or some weirdos got you like, you know, oh, those people, they believe in the rapture. The Bible says the rapture is our blessed hope.
Yep.
And he says, be ready that you be able to escape all that is about to come upon the earth. So this coming famine, now listen what it says here. Because it says, the economists predict an imminent food catastrophe. You know what imminent means, right?
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. So they're telling you, there's going to be a food shortage. If you don't have Jesus, we're going to be eating good, but we won't be here.
Right.
I'll be sitting at the king's table. But so that it's an invitation to leave when you're supposed to leave.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
It's an invitation to live for Jesus when you're supposed to live for Jesus. Okay?
Amen.
So let me go to the next page, because there's three things I wanted to show you.
What page you on?
I'm on page 2. Okay? So then today I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on with the digital currency, okay? It says the new digital currency that could save the global economy by Steve Forbes. So I watched that interview today, or that speech today. You know, Forbes magazine? So this guy says that the new digital currency that could save the global economy. So if we get everybody on digital currency, this could save the whole planet. And if we could just get off fiat currency, money, paper, and just get everybody on digital, it could save the economy, okay? So this was Steve Forbes' whole message, was how this is gonna even help the poor, because they'll be able to earn money and be online, and everyone will have a bank account. And so the whole thing is, we want to get the whole wide world on digital currency. And then what did Rockefeller say in the interview? If you don't do what I say, I'll just turn off your chip.
Yep.
Okay? So I started looking more into this, and then I looked up this deal here. It said Bitcoin, the end of money as we know it, cryptocurrency. So I watched that documentary, and boy, were they like, I don't watch like Christian people do stuff. I watch the people who are excited about it, that are involved in it,
because
people like Christian people, y'all hear bad scripture and everything. So I watch like Steve Forbes, Forbes magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I watch economists, this guy from, I forget where he's from, but he was talking about Bitcoin and how wonderful it is, and how it's going to be a savior of the economy and the world, and we just got to get everybody on board, and all of the major banks of the world need to help us to get everyone situated so we can all have an economic future we can be proud of. Ooh, they are slick. Satan does not lie. You know, he doesn't even crack a smile when he lies. He was just sitting there talking.
Smooth.
I was like, wow, this guy is good. So then I went back to look at this, and it said, this was the patent. It said Microsoft has got the patent for cryptocurrency that will be monitored by your body activity and connected to the company's server. Bill Gates, Microsoft, is a central player in cryptocurrency patent number 060606. So I wanted to, because when I, now this is an article I wanted to read. I wanted to read this article, and the original way that it came out said that Microsoft has got the patent for cryptocurrency that will be monitored by your body activity. It doesn't say by a card. So that means eventually they want to put this in your body,
right? That's right.
is going to be measured by your body activity and connected to the company's server. Okay? And then, of course, 0606 is Bill Gates' patent, WO2020-06060681, News That Matters. That was the name of the thing that I was watching. And then we have Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, and it says, here is wisdom. Let him who understands, who has understanding, calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666, right? Mm-hmm. So we're watching them set up digital currency, and very prominent people who are running the economies of the world are letting you know we're going to be on digital currency.
Yep.
Cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, whatever digital currency, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so the world needs to know that sooner or later, your dollars are going to mean nothing, and you're going to have digital currency, and that's the only way you're going to be able to purchase, okay?
Yep.
And now, when this happens, the next thing we'll go over will say to you, now we realize the cards are not working. We want everybody to have their own digital currency chip within them, and that way you don't have to worry about losing your card or someone stealing your card. And then now they'll start forcing, because it will not be, someone said, I'm going to religious exempt. You try.
Yeah.
In the tribulation, you just try to religious exempt, okay? So eventually this is coming to the world. Now, it was not Bill Gates or the Rockefellers or the Illuminati that told us that digital currency was coming and it was going to be 666. Who told us that?
Bible.
Okay, so let's read it, because God has already told you. They're just doing it in front of you so that you can see your Bible's coming true. That's all they're doing. They're saying, you know what? Watch. Your Bible's coming true right in front of you. Okay? And look, it's going to be a famine. Oh, wait a minute. Revelation 6 verse 6 and 7 already said there's going to be famine and plague during the tribulation. So you're not telling me first. The Bible already told me.
Yeah.
But I think people think I wouldn't have believed it just by reading the Bible. But now that I see it, now I'm going to believe it. But with most Christians, they didn't believe it when they read it in the Bible, and they don't believe it now that they're seeing it.
Right.
You understand? And that's a problem.
Yep.
It's absolutely crazy. So
what page are you on?
I'm on Revelation chapter 13. And I'm reading verse 16.
For page 2.
No, I'm in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
It says, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in, that is a Greek word, in his right hand or in his forehead, so that that no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark. Okay? It says, which is the number of the beast, or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast. It is the number of man. His number is 666. So now you got your cryptocurrency. It's a patent at 666, and you're seeing it right in front of you. But as a Christian, you still don't believe that the world's about to go into tribulation. You're still waiting around. Like, I had my t-shirt on the other day. Norma's not coming back, but Jesus is.
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing that shirt as often as I can, because I don't think people get it. Okay, now, 8 days ago, this happened. Russia, for the first time, fired at Israeli planes in Syria. What is Russia doing shooting missiles at Israeli planes? Huh? And why? Okay, because Israel was fighting against Iran, who has a military base in Syria. I could throw a rock from Syria to Israel. So why is it that Iran is allowed to have a military base in Syria? And why is it that Russia could have a military base in Syria? And what does it, Russia have to do with Israel shooting shooting rockets at Iranians when the Iranians have been doing all of these murders in Israel? So it's like, how is Russia getting involved? But, like I said, Russia and Iran are best buddies? Is that crazy?
That's crazy.
Because doesn't Ezekiel chapter 38 say that Gog and Magog and Persia will attack Israel? Who's Persia? Iran. I have friends from Iran. They will tell you, I am not Arabic. I am Persian. And they get mad at you if you call them Arabic, because they say, no, I'm Persian. I'm from Iran. Okay? So Persia and Magog are best buddies right now, and they both have military bases near Israel, and Israel is firing rockets at Iran or Persia, and Russia, Magog, shoots missiles at Israel 8 days ago. Okay? And here's in Ezekiel chapter 38, almost page 2. It says, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the prince of Rush, Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against him, okay? Because he knows that Gog and Magog are going to try to attack Israel. Then it says here, it says, the land of Magog is located in the north part to the north of Jerusalem. Turkey is north of Israel, but the furthest to the north is Russia. And that's how the scripture reads, in the far north. Your enemy will come from the far north. Okay? So turn your page to page 3, and we're going to get started on this Bible study. That was really just kind of an update to let people know that we got a war going on, and then who came on the other way? George Soros says, This war is definitely going to start a World War III. George Soros says on TV, this is definitely leading to World War III. Of course they want a World War III, right? Because then now you can do the reset. They're going to love the Antichrist. Listen to me, you guys. Don't think that the world, when he arrives, they're going to go, boo! They're going to go, he's awesome. What? He's resetting the economy? What, $25,000 credit to each family? What? He's putting some people in jail? Oh my goodness, where did this guy come from? He's better than Trump. And everybody will be excited about the Antichrist. Because remember, he's coming as a man of peace, and he's coming pretending to be the Messiah. When he does all this, Israel's going to say he's the Messiah, and the world's going to say he's just a wonderful guy. So it won't be until a little after, until they start seeing his true face, that they'll realize, wait a minute, okay? So before we begin to read this, I want you guys to know something. Waiting on the rapture is not new. Okay? Waiting to be delivered out of the earth realm is not new. Okay? It has happened before. We can say it's happened with Israel, because Israel was waiting to go back into their land. And their hope every year was to go back into their land. And every year they would say prayers, and then they would say, next year in Israel. You know? But I want to introduce you to a whole new group of people that were waiting for to be delivered and to be taken up to heaven. But they were in the earth, waiting on Jesus, waiting to be delivered out.
Paradise.
And into heaven. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Okay, so I got Esdras chapter 2, Second Esdras chapter 4, verse 33 to 43. And I'm going to read it, okay? It said, then I asked, you know what, I'm going to, because I probably got notes in mind, so I want to make sure that I'm reading, I'm including my notes. Okay. Here we go. We're starting at verse 33. Did I say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, then I answered and said, how long, when will these things be? Why are our years few and evil? And he answered me and said, do not hasten faster than the Most High. And for that word in the Hebrew, you would use do not rush. Do not be in a more of a rush than the Most High. Okay? So it says, do not be in a rush faster than the Most High. For you are in a rush, or you haste for yourselves. You're in a rush for this deliverance and rapture for yourselves, the angel tells him. But the Most High is being patient on the behalf of many. You understand?
Yes.
He hastens for the many. So understand, God set this up where it took a long time because he's trying to save as many souls as possible. Okay? So all of this stuff is happening, but it's on a time frame. Okay? Then it says in verse 35, did not the souls of the righteous in their chambers ask about these matters, saying, how long are we to be here? And when will come the harvest of our reward? So the people that are waiting realize that they are harvest. When is the harvest of our reward coming? That's what they was asking God, and they were asking the angels, when is this going to be over? When are we going to be delivered out of here? Okay, now watch this. And it says, Jeremiah, the angel, answered them and said, when the number of those like yourselves is complete, for he has weighed the age in the balance and measured the time by measure and numbered the time by number. And he will not move or arouse them until that measure is fulfilled. You understand?
Yes.
So God was letting them know, you have a specific time that you're going to be delivered. But it's not going to be until the fullness of the time arrives, but you're going to be delivered. Who are these people that are asking, when are we going to be delivered?
Paradise.
All the Old Testament saints. When they died, they went to Abraham's bosom in paradise. And they were waiting in the middle of Hades, in the middle of the earth. They're waiting, but they're on the good side. And the people who are evil are on the other side. And all of this is going on. But people who are dying for 2,000 years, they're going down to paradise. And they know it's good because they can see the other side. They say, woo! I love it over here, right? So, but they were asking every day, how long do we need? Are we going to be here in paradise? How long do we have to be here? You know, we can see what's going on over there. We see there's a goal fixed. And we know here we have water, we are comforted. But how long? Because we heard that we are a harvest. And so when is the harvest of our reward? When is it coming? Okay? So, let's continue. Verse 38. Then I answered him and said, O sovereign Lord, but all of us also are full of ungodliness. And it is perhaps on our account of us that the time of threshing, what's the time of threshing? The harvest. The time of threshing is delayed for the righteous on the account of the sins of those who dwell on the earth. So he's trying to figure it out. Maybe we're sinning too much. That's why the God's not delivering these people at the proper time, right? So he says this. He says, he answered me and said, go and ask a woman who is with child. If when her ninth month have been completed, her womb can keep the child within her any longer. He said, ask her that. When your ninth month comes, can you keep the baby in you any longer? He says, and I said, no, Lord, it cannot. And he said to me, in Hades, the chambers of souls are like the womb. Why is he saying in Hades? Because that's where paradise is. So he's saying right now in Hades, in the middle of the earth, that's what the souls are like right now. They're waiting to be delivered, but they can't be delivered until it's time to give birth.
Yes.
Now it makes sense to me that God was telling me, I think 2017, I'm about to birth my children out of the world. I'm going to birth my children out of the world. He says, these that are in Hades, in the middle of the earth right now, waiting, these people are waiting to be delivered, to be birthed out of Hades, so that they can go to heaven, because they heard that the door to heaven is going to be open and a Messiah is coming. But he hasn't come yet, and it's been 1,000 years, now 2,000 years, like, you know, Abraham, you cool to hang out with, you know, I like Ezekiel, all you guys are real cool. But when are we getting out of here? Because they knew that there was someplace better, right? Okay, so it says, and he said to me, in Hades, the chambers of souls are like that of a womb. For just as a woman who travails make haste to escape the pains of birth, so also do those places hasten to give back those things that were committed to them from the beginning. Then the thing that you desire to see will be disclosed to you. When are we going to see the rapture? When it's our time.
Yeah.
He said it's already been measured out. The time has been measured out. If he measured out the time, now, if he measured out the time that these people were going to get out of paradise in Hades and end up in heaven, did he measure out that time?
Yes.
That it was going to take?
Yes.
How do we know he measured out that time? Because we know they resurrected. Here, let me get back to my notes here. Go to the next page. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I wish that, you know, like we could really see what God is doing as reality instead of just religion, so we can know what a great thing we're a part of. You're in Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to start here in verse 19. It says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Did he go to heaven?
No.
Christ hasn't died yet. Where did he go?
Paradise.
Paradise. When the thief was on the cross, and he said good words to Jesus. Jesus says, today you will be with me in
paradise.
Paradise, okay? Today, that day he was with him in paradise, okay? So it says, the time has come when the beggar to die, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Abraham replied, son, remember, in your lifetime, you received good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. These are not small words, okay? besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered then, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Mm. So you got two people in the middle of the earth, one's comforted, and the other one's in torment. And even the ones comforted are still saying, yeah, this is good, but we heard that the door to the kingdom of God in heaven is going to be open. And we are going to get our harvest of reward, because we are a harvest.
Yes.
They said the threshing floor. They're using harvest words. When is the harvest of our reward? Is the threshing floor ready yet? Mm-hmm. They're using harvest words. You understand? So, at that point, I'm going to read this in Ephesians 4, verse 9. And it says, He who descended is the same who also ascended higher than all the heavens to restore all things. It says, this also means that the one who went down into the earth is the same one who went into the highest heavens. So he would fill the whole universe. He that descended is also that ascended above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, so that's from Ephesians. So Jesus descended down first. Mm-hmm. He descended down first. And when he descended down, the scripture says he went down first and he led captivity captive. And then he led them out of where? Paradise in Hades. He led them out. And now they're on their way,
yes,
to where they've been waiting for years.
Yes.
Okay? In Ephesians, you might read it, it's verse 9 and 10, okay? What we just read. Then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So when he went down, he said he made a public spectacle of them. On earth, they made a public spectacle of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew, soon as I die in this body, I'm going down and I'm going to make a public spectacle of them.
That's right.
Taking back the keys of life and death. I would have loved to see that.
Oh,
just,
man.
Slapping Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you know they were scared of me, even on earth.
Yeah.
It was like, we know who you are. Please, don't. Could we just jump in the pigs? Pretty, 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 Jesus. They were so scared of him. Because they didn't want torment right now. So they was like, okay, oh, I know who that is. Hey, Mr. Jesus.
Ah!
They were scared of him. So now he goes down, he makes a public spectacle, he takes back the keys to life and death, he frees the captives,
yes,
who've been there since the Old Testament, living the law out,
uh-huh,
righteously,
yeah,
and he frees them. And he says, I died on the cross, the door is open to heaven.
Damn.
Everyone who I call your name, come with me.
Yeah.
And so now he leaves heaven, and they say his train was filled with people, with saints. So he led them, but the train following him was like a wedding train,
yeah,
you know? But they were following him up into heaven, and he said that's how it happened, okay?
Ooh.
So Christ ascended, he descended down, then he ascended up, And then he took all of those people who had been asking for years, how long do we have to be in paradise? Now, here we are, the same. How long do we have to be on this earth? Did you hear about the pandemic, Lord? As if God doesn't know what's going on. You know that monkey thing they got going, Lord? Well, I mean, we just like what they were doing. Remember, they had, every time an angel show up, okay, how much longer?
Yep.
Lord, how much longer? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Shut up before I take you back home, right? So, the whole thing is happening again. But be assured that the angel said to him, just like a woman who is pregnant, when it's time for her to give birth, she can't hold that baby back no longer. That means the time is here. And he says, your time is coming.
Yes.
He told the children in paradise, your time is coming. And when it's time, nobody will be able to hold you here. And when the church time to go, there's nobody that will be able to hold you here.
Amen.
Because it'll be your time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, when did they get out of the chambers in Hades? When did the saints get out of the chambers in Hades? What day? Do you guys know what day it was? I'll give you a hint. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. It's like second to the bottom of your page 4. It says, 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord, thy God, in a place which you shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before me empty-handed. Everyone had to bring the first fruits of their labor as a gift to God. So what God is telling them, that we're going to harvest the fields 3 times a year. And you will appear before me 3 times a year. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? After Pentecost. Then after Pentecost, they will begin the Feast of Unleavened, not Pentecost, after Passover, they will begin the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is a 7-day festival, okay? So that means after Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, that means now they're in the Feast of what? Unleavened Bread. So let's go to Matthew chapter 27. The Bible says that if somebody hears the word and they don't understand it, Satan will come and snatch it away.
Yeah.
So I want you to understand this. You understand?
Amen.
I want you to understand that your day is coming. Chapter 27, and we're in verse what, 50?
Yes.
Yes. And it says, and when Christ cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, okay, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who died were raised to life. So now that you got a resurrection going on there. They're being raised out of the center of the earth. They're being raised out of the paradise in Hades because Jesus just resurrected.
Yes.
So here it is. It says, tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus, because he's the first fruit, right?
Right.
Resurrection, after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared before many. And so now, check that with me if you're checking. It doesn't say many people. This book says English. It says, and he appeared before many people. It said, he appeared before many.
Right.
They appeared before angels and other people,
mm-hmm.
but they appeared. They're in heaven now.
Yeah.
They've been in paradise 2,000 years. They're in heaven now. They're like, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we were waiting in paradise, asking the angels every day how long. And now it just happened. But when did it happen? During the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Who told you that your deliverance day was going to be during the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Deuteronomy told them that. They came out at the exact time they were supposed to come out.
Wow.
He didn't make them wait until the next Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's like, I came out. Now it's time for the rest of the harvest to come out.
Yes.
We're going to start with the barley. And they came out of the tombs. And they went into the holy city. And now they're in Zion, in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, in heaven. And they're face to face with God. And they're meeting Christ. And they're saying, and I'm sure he sat them down and explained the prophecy. Because they knew that the Messiah was coming. Abraham told them. They're in Abraham's bosom. He's like, this is what he told me a long time ago. Remember Isaac? He was just like a replica of what Christ was going to do. And I had to explain to the little lad, you know. And all this stuff, he's telling them the story. And they're in heaven. And this is now their reality. You understand? You have to understand the rapture will be a reality.
Yes.
The day they came out of those tombs and went to heaven, don't you know God already saw that day and knew that day was going to happen?
Yes.
That wasn't something new. He already planned that because he put it in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16.
Amen.
Telling them the exact time that they're going to go up.
Yes.
Okay. So if that's their time, let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's see when our time is.
First or second?
1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4.
4:17?
We can start reading in verse 13. Brother, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Now that Christ has died and the center of the earth's been closed off,
mm-hmm.
to be absent from the body is to what?
Present with the
be
Lord.
Be present with the Lord. Except, what about the resurrected body? It's not your harvest time yet. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you could be in heaven in a spiritual body, but not be in a resurrected body
that's
like
right.
Jesus did.
Right.
Because it's not time for the wedding. And when it's time for the wedding, Christ wants the body here together. So you have people who have died in Christ. They're in heaven. They're in spiritual bodies. But let's see what happens. Okay? It says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who fall asleep in him, according to the Lord's own words. Jesus told them this. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That means the dead, everybody who has died in Christ, their DNA is now going to be connected to their spirit, and they're going to have resurrected bodies.
Yes.
Now they have resurrected bodies, and then now, guess what? Verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up
yes.
together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. You hear that?
Yes.
And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I'm not telling you about the rapture to argue with you, to make you feel bad. I'm telling you, trying to give you some hope.
Amen.
To encourage you that you don't have to be here for the next whatever they're going to do to the human race.
Right.
You don't have to be here. You can choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Assure yourself to be part of the body and part of the bride.
Yes.
Okay? Love your bride as your body. The same way you love your body, love your bride. They are one and the same. You understand? Mm-hmm. So now, the scripture says the next time this happens, those that are in Christ are going to receive their resurrected bodies. And those that are still living are going to be harpazo,
yes,
and receive the resurrected body and eternal life like them. That's what the rapture is.
Yes.
Okay? And we join with all of, not the Old Testament saints, we join with all of those who began the church era.
Yes.
Who began getting saved. The 3,000 that got saved at Pentecost.
Yes.
I want to meet those people.
Yes.
Peter, Paul. I really want to meet Paul. I'm like, you're a bad dude. You got, Jesus, they whipped Jesus like 39 stripes once. You got whipped like that 5 times. Dude. And you didn't quit. I'd have put reservations. What you doing, Teddy? My reservation. That was the 4th time. Man, he never quit.
10 minutes past it.
Wow. Now, Revelation chapter 4, we know that it happens again, right? That's the next example of it, right? Revelation chapter 7 is something very interesting because now there is a bunch of people going through tribulation and they're dying. Some of them are dying because they don't want to take the mark.
Right.
They're all dying because they don't want to follow the beast system. They're called the faithful. They're the ones who have decided that life or death, I'm serving Jesus.
Yes.
My cousin disappeared in front of me. He told me about the rapture. I missed it. But right now, I would rather die than to serve the beast.
Yes.
Okay? And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, many of them are going to be in heaven. It says a lot of Christians, mm-hmm, a lot of people are going to decide, I'm going to live for God.
Yep.
Okay? Because it says right here in verse 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God,
yes,
who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And it says, okay, go down to verse 13. It says, then one of the elders asked me,
who are
these in white robes? Who are they and where did they come from? That's not the church.
Right.
The church is already gone in chapter 4. So who are these people? Let's clarify it. He said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God to serve him day and night in the temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Why were they hungry?
Famine.
I just showed you the beginning that there's going to be a famine. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Yes.
That's still mercy over people who didn't get raptured. But if you determine now that you want to be faithful to the name, you can die and live for Jesus and still make it in.
Yeah.
Okay? So, there are three times that Christ is coming down to lead people up to heaven in a train. One, he's already done. The next time, it'll be the church, his wonderful bride, who has everyone who has accepted the invitation to love Jesus and living for him and placing Christ first. And all of these people are now going to be the second harvest that's going to be led out of here, led up to heaven in the train of Christ. Okay? And then the very last time, there will be tribulation saints where God will come down to the cloud with a sickle in his hand because he's got to cut the fruit off the tree because that's the last harvest, is the fruit harvest. Now, when is the fruit harvest? The Feast of Tabernacles. If you go to the book of Revelation chapter 20, you can see Christ is back for the 1,000-year millennium, and he resurrects these people who died during the tribulation. They get resurrected. That's the last of the fruit harvest. And guess what time that is? He returns on Yom Kippur 5 days later after Yom Kippur is what? Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Ingathering. Let's celebrate now. The whole harvest is here. And so now everybody is saved. He's harvested the whole world. And that is what God is doing. You understand? So our turn is coming. We're not the first people to be impatient and ask a lot of questions. You're not the first. It's been done before, but when their time came, they went. Now, last question. If they left at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when is the time for the church to leave? Pentecost. The time for the church to leave is Pentecost. He says, appear before me at the Feast of Unleavened Bread and at the Feast of Shavuot, which is Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacle, which is the end of the tribulation. That happens. So he shows you in Revelation, this is when this is going to happen. It happens in Tabernacle. See, it's right there in Revelation. I'm going to show you when the first one leaves. It's at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right there. It shows you right there in Matthew. So the only one that we can see now is the Feast of Unleavened Bread hasn't happened. Or the Feast of Pentecost hasn't happened. Now, not only does he tell us at the Feast of Shavuot, he gives us an example in Hebrews chapter 12 and says, oh, by the way, the first time on Pentecost, because when the Jews came to the mountain and they married God, and God came down and they stood under the huppah, and that was the 50th day after leaving Egypt. It was the first original Pentecost. Okay? That was the first original Pentecost. Here, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Pastor Ben, just be quiet. But you don't have any more time.
I didn't say nothing.
Okay. He's a good guy.
However.
Yeah, however. You know that. Okay. Okay. You in 23? Okay, we're in verse 15. Watch this. It says, from the day after the Sabbath, okay, the day you brought the wheat, the shift of wheat offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath. And then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. For wherever you live, bring 2 loaves, okay, made of 2/10 of ephah, and a fine flour baked with yeast. Why 2 loaves? Because the church consists of both Jews and Gentiles. So you got to bring two loaves, and they have to have yeast in it. Why? Because there's only one bread that can be offered that had no sin, and that was Christ. But this wheat offering, bring two loaves. Now remember, the lady who had to have her children brought out of slavery in 2 Kings, I think it was 8, she had to have her two children brought out of slavery. Notice she had two sons.
Right.
You understand? Because both Jews and Gentiles have to be purchased out of slavery. You understand? So he's telling the same story. Now he does this with the two there, and he does it. And then right after, he ends up telling the lady who he resurrected, go away for 7 years because I'm going to bring a famine on the land for 7 years. He's telling you the same story. But this right here, Pentecost, the 50th day after they left Egypt, they're standing under the hoopah, and God tells them, on the third day, be ready. And don't go up the mountain until you hear a long trumpet blast. And stand under the hoopah, and I'm going to appear to you. And then the clouds of smoke and bellows and fire, and the earth shook and all of this, right? And then so this is their marriage, and then God gives them the Ten Commandments, and then they have this wedding, right? On Pentecost. That's why we celebrate Pentecost. That's why they were counting 50 days. That's why Jesus knew, okay, this is the 40th day. 10 days later is going to be Pentecost. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's when the Holy Spirit came. So now he gives us this thing in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And he says, oh, by the way, your wedding is not going to be like their wedding. Okay? Forget the fact that Enoch's born on Pentecost and ascended on Pentecost. Let's forget that part. This part says in Hebrews, you're going to have a wedding just like the wedding they had on Pentecost. Except it's not going to be bad. You're going to be standing before thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly with the King of Kings, with the Redeemer, with all of your brothers and sisters who have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb. That's what you're coming to, okay? So why give us an example of the first wedding that happened on Pentecost? You understand? So that means that day, the wedding has never happened. It was only an engagement. And now the wedding has to take place. And your day is coming. So you can stop saying, are we there yet? You're not the first people to do that, okay? The Old Testament saints were the first people to do that. But their day came, and your day is coming. So let's hang in there. Praise God.
Amen.
All right.
Good message,
Pastor.
Hallelujah. What's up, Greg? Doing so good.